We're going to have the guests from this retreat share what they've been feeling, what they've been experiencing, and let you get a feel for some of what is on their hearts and minds, rather than just listen to me through the course of this show. So the first guest we have is from Wisconsin. He's a contact minister up there. He's been diligent in helping us with some of our recordings. He set up keysofthekingdom.info, which has a lot of our recordings on it. He's been a great help. He actually took over the show, I think, once for me back some time ago when I wasn't able to make it. And so I'll just turn it over to Paul Bethke from Wisconsin, and he can tell you what he's been thinking.
Good morning, Gregory. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak my mind here this morning. Hopefully I can do this with a little bit less nervousness than the time I took over and a little more content. But that aside, I want to start out by saying that to thanking you for all that you do. It would be my testimony that I've never met a more spirit-filled man and someone perfect for the task that you're doing. I find it interesting that Gregory does a show from his office or inner sanctum, and as I look around the room, if the organization here is anything like Brother Gregory thinks, it's pretty impressive to see. So far at the retreat, we've been having a wonderful time. The weather's been perfect. We've got to meet and fellowship with people from across the country and across the world. Been especially excited to meet Mark from Australia, who we'll be talking on here a little bit later. And we've communed a little bit via Skype. And it's just a spirit-filled adventure here, what's going on at this retreat.
The interesting thing is, and I've done this, and it's actually been a great relief, this retreat, compared to some. We've always had good people show up, and we've also had people a little bit lost and a little bit bewildered. And then, of course, as you get with any kind of group that's open to the general public, we didn't really advertise this to everybody. If we get more and more of the caliber of ministerial understanding that we've gotten this time, and that I know is also developing with a lot of the other contact ministers across the country who couldn't make it, I could see this actually inviting people on a much larger scale to out here to Summer Lake. There's already talk of me going back to Iowa and South Carolina and possibly other places later on this year to talk and start doing the same thing that we're doing out here on the West Coast, on the East Coast, and in Central America. Who knows? I may end up going to Australia one of these days. The idea is to get things started on a local area. So I was going to maybe come up with some questions I could ask Paul before we bring in our next guest. How was your first night in the yurt?
That sounds like a loaded question, Greg. We were abruptly introduced to the coolness of the Oregon fall when we didn't have a heat source in the yurt, and there's the R factor of the walls is pretty small. So come about 2 or 3 in the morning, we discovered through shivering and other means that we should probably check out the nearby building and start a little fire in the fireplace there just to warm up.
Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, you know, I bet you it's pretty cold out there. I wonder if they got good Arctic sleeping bags. I wonder if they are ready for 4,000 feet in the high Oregon desert, because it did get a bit chilly. But I thought, well, I hope they know they can go into one of our other retreat buildings. And unfortunately, evidently, the spirit moved them, if not the cold. And they did go in there and warm up. Well, the next day they pursued with enthusiasm another means, an alternative heat source other than their own heart beating in them. And they were able to, with some of the things that we had here, pull out a a stove, actually the stove we used, a wood stove we used on the place when we first came, and hooked it up in the yurt and added a great deal of warmth.
At least we got to experience some ingenuity in trying to problem solve there.
Right, and that's what the kingdom's all about, is working together and solving problems instead of going to those benefactors who exercise authority.
I didn't see them there at 3 in the morning.
No, they weren't going to come out. Of course, no. We had some other accommodations, and that's what we hope to do in the days to come, is to create accommodations where we can have people come out. But we don't want to weaken the poor. We want people to become involved. And so one of the things, and we heard it from Rick on the blog talk, that last night we had a meal coming up, and we had talked about this, and everybody bought lots of food. Well, the first day people kind of fixed something here and there, and there was certainly sharing. But this time they did it in a much more organized fashion, but the organization came from them, came from their own desire to get along and work together. And we had a very late night campfire with a lot of people sticking around because nobody wanted it to end. They wanted to keep on going. So anyway, I'm not sure what time. We've got a number of other people going to be coming in, so we'll probably say goodbye to Paul and bring in the next guest. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Paul, before you turn this over to the next guy?
Well, I should probably suffix what I said about our cold night to, we were a little bit vindicated when we found out from others the next day that there was, in fact, frost on the ground, so it's not just being city slickers.
Yeah. But well, we were fortunate not to be camping in Christmas Valley because their crops froze back to the ground. So much for global warming.
God is good. Bless everyone.
Yeah, but it was an experience, and that's what this is about, and that is experiences are exercised together. And everybody mutually work together to make better things happen. We have another guest coming in, which is Hadar from Minnesota. He got to speak a little bit back on the Blog Talk Radio, but we'll let you share, or let him share, what he feels about the retreat and what he's learning and what he would like to share with you. So we'll just turn it over to Hadar. So,
thank you, Brother Gregory. Yeah, it's, wow. You've got people coming in from all over the place. You know, they, and fellowshipping immediately in so many ways. And not just the people that knew each other and so forth. We've seen people come in. You know, I've seen Jeff from South Carolina. He, you know, I've talked with him on the, you know, on different times and different occasions and so forth. But now we're able to connect. And, you know, and it was, a lot of it's a lot like, coming home. You get to see people that face to face, and yet it doesn't seem like we're strangers. And I know that's clearly just because we're here for the same reasons, in a large extent. We're seeking the kingdom and His righteousness. And I know there's a lot of people that hear that and say, "Yeah, well, we are too." And but for us, we're seeing it, you know, in a practical way of living it out, that it's not some kind of elusive idea that it would be really great, maybe someday in heaven we'll experience it, but we're being able to see practical things in a tough world, and that people can do things contrary to maybe what they've seen, that people can be depended on to come together willingly to do things, So we're out here in this high desert, and yeah, it is an experience. I didn't realize I could burn sunburned so easily. I mean, I'm thinking, it wasn't that warm. It was 70 degrees. It was really nice, and people are saying, "Hey, you're getting red."
Yeah, it's we're 4,000 feet, and this is something we've talked about or touched on before, is that there are things going on in the sun where you can get burned easy. And we've warned people that this is hat country. You and And of course, I'll mention that I did get a gift hat from Australia.
Oh yeah,
it says HHC, and I already had people coveting that hat.
Yes, you have,
because it says FEMA on it. HHC FEMA, which is Faith Emergency Management Auxiliary, and by these individuals coming together, talking together, we have an expanded auxiliary. We have people now in Minnesota who know people in Minnesota. Of course, we knew people there already, but you know, we have family there. I lived in Minnesota. I met my wife in Minnesota. We have family in Wisconsin, same place as Paul. But now we have an extended family beyond our own relatives that is a part of a greater family. And as that network grows, we find our treasure in that network, which is the kingdom of people caring about one another.
Well, yeah, and when as we traveled out here, we got to meet other congregations. I traveled with Paul, and we got to meet other, you know, people from other congregations, people that are seeking after God and seeking to connect with other congregations. And think about that, you know. How many people belong to a congregation but never connect with other congregations? They may be part of a denomination, and they know there's five other churches in the same community that are the same denomination, and they haven't even connected. And now we're building a network. God is building a network of people. So it was really exciting to be able to stop by and see other people that not everybody could be here. And yet I know there's a lot of people reflecting how they want to, and they are making plans to come together. And maybe next year, some people that are come this year may not be able to be back here. That may not be their purpose. But others are already, you know, purposing to do this, and we keep the flow. And the reason why this is necessary, well, there's probably lots of reasons. One that comes to my mind, Gregory, would be the fact that people needed to connect to make those relationships. You just can't do it off of
email. So, yeah, we're probably going over the mics a bit here, but yeah, we timed that really well, because we know we have the experience and we've realized that, and that's why the network is so much more promising, is that it's not just email. We're not going to just send you another email. We're going to actually have live people, the treasure of the kingdom, on the ground, being able to be of assistance, helping one another, being a part of each other's lives. People have told me for years that the church is relationships, but here we have relationships of a greater extent and a great, because we reach out not only in our own congregation, which is a real danger to find a nice, comfortable congregation and not go any farther than that. If you really love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, and Hadar and I had this conversation last night, you will love your neighboring congregation as much as your own. And that does not dilute your congregation. It enriches it.
It strengthens it. Yeah, it was a really good conversation, and it's a conversation that's been talked about with other people. We can see how coming together and caring about each other and learning that process, and believe me, it's learning, but you can see how that's strengthened. I mean, just in our travels, knowing that we had many, many locations that if we needed to stop, and it wasn't just needing to stop, people wanted to connect. It was neat, you know. It's like we have a schedule. No, we don't. We have the schedule as it works out, you know. And we wouldn't have missed it for the world, you know. I mean, in that sense. And it's not just the experience. It's seeing people. People come through Minnesota and they need a connection or want a connection. They have it. That's an amazing thing that people don't have, and it should be there. There should be this connection. If the body of Christ is universal in that sense, I mean that Christ has established His church, not 100,000 anything else that are separate, but His church, then there should be Christians, there should be brotherhood, there should be sisterhood of believers everywhere. And how exciting it is to see God really work in that thing, that place.
Well, it's been great meeting Hadar. I've heard about him. Richard, who has also gone out to Minneapolis, has had a chance to meet him, but now we actually meet him in person, and that's important. I think we've got some other people about ready to come on, too, and I'm looking at the clock. We're not going to have time to get everybody in if we don't start filtering them through this little tiny office. So there's people out there coordinating this effort. And so with our next guest, I have to introduce this next guest with a particular instrument that I have just received yesterday as a gift to the church. I don't know how that went over on the mic, but that's a didgeridoo from Australia. And we have a real doer from Australia, which is Mark Vannucci. He'd come all the way here, along with a few other of those guys down under to help us here at the retreat. He's been a great help. We've had him cutting firewood and bucking bales, and he's done it enthusiastically. So I'm just going to turn the mic over to Mark and see if he can make it all the way to the commercial break.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Mark from Melbourne in Australia. I have come a long way. We had a bit of a meeting yesterday, and we registered everybody that came, and part of the registration was to write down how many miles you've come, and I just put 10,000 plus because it's somewhere over there. I took four planes to get here, one from Melbourne to Sydney, and then a big long 13-hour trip from Sydney to LA, and then we went from LA to San Francisco, jumped off the plane again, and caught a little cigar tube aeroplane from San Francisco to Redmond, where we got there at around about midnight, and that's where I saw Brother Gregory just standing there waiting to pick us up. So he'd traveled a couple of hours to come and get us. So it's kind of full circle. That's probably someone from Australia trying to call through, but we'll get that later.
Now somebody will get that in another room.
All right, yeah. So it's kind of full circle for me here because this is really the first place I heard about. Well, really, the kingdom of God on this program, because I've been seeking the kingdom for a long time, and you know, just talking to a lot of people, and I thought I sort of knew what it was about, but I wasn't quite sure. And people said that the kingdom was within you, and people said that the kingdom is you know, happens after you die, and I sort of went through the ringer a bit there, because my heart is one that really just wants to seek the kingdom so I can do the will of God, because for me there's nothing else more important than doing that. And you know, I heard a few other speakers on this radio station, which it is a good station, and once I heard Gregory talk, I realized there was something behind what was going on here. So for the last 12 months especially, I've been really applying myself to learn what he's been talking about, and that's the kingdom of God at hand. And I'd heard this saying you know, a few times, but nobody really explained it the way I heard it here. And it really means that the kingdom of God is here and now, and it's really something we can understand and act upon. And I looked around where I'm from in Melbourne, and even all over Australia, and there really weren't many people I could find that really had any idea about what that was. So, you know, seeking the kingdom takes you places, and it's brought me all the way here to Oregon. I never thought I'd visit this place, but here I am. There's two people that have come with me, John and Donato, both from Melbourne also. And I'm sure there's other people in Australia listening to me right now, or on the archives, because there are a bunch of people over there that are beginning to understand the kingdom as well. And that's a thing, because the kingdom is an international thing. It's really a universal thing, but it's not just something that happens in America. It's you know, there are people all over the world now on this network that have heard the message and that are listening now even, and that are reading the books. And I just encourage everybody to really understand what we're talking about here, because there are so many other messages out there, and you know, I've really, you know, in my sincere search believed other people, and I've wasted a lot of time, and this is really the most real message that I've ever heard with regard to the kingdom of God and what I need to be doing to really enter that kingdom. So
I'll give them a break. This idea of speaking into a microphone out there into the world is a little bit intimidating. I remember the first time I was on a radio show, I actually had to lay down on the floor of the office in order to regain my composure before I started. It's really not that big a deal. But if you're not used to that public speaking, it can be quite a stress on you. And I know that everybody who's come in here has been a little bit nervous. Paul did the whole show one time. He remembers how nervous he felt, but he actually sounded really good. It's amazing when you hear yourself later how well you've done. But Mark has been very enthusiastic from the beginning, and it's kind of a mystery to me, you know, as to what an individual is feeling and what they're thinking. And to have somebody come this great a distance, I know that he, you know, what he's feeling is very deep. And I think we've stirred the imagination of some people. And what we'd really like to see, we've got George in New Zealand, and the reality is that we've been so deceived as to the fullness of this gospel of the kingdom, how it reaches into every aspect of our lives, in our relationships with other people, that we need to step back and look at all things anew. And I think Mark was willing to do that. I think he was actually yearning for something new. That's why he was on First Amendment Radio to begin with. And just stumble across us. Now, the trick is, how do we get to all those other people down under and in New Zealand, the Kiwis? Is that what they call them? Get them to come together in the same way that we saw people coming together last night and during the last week. So if we got a little bit more time to the break, I'm not sure if we got more people that want to come on. Okay, we got another individual who has come here from Oregon. Thanks a lot, Mark, for coming and saying a few words.
My pleasure.
Say hello to everybody in Australia.
Oh, g'day, George. G'day, Carl, if you're listening. And g'day, Ant and Vera and everybody else out there. There's John out there as well. And there's also John in Adelaide, John in Tasmania, and John in Adelaide. So g'day, everybody, and I'll see you when I get home.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, and so now we're going to have another guest who's come here, has been very helpful, always willing to jump in and do something. Seems to have a pretty good nature. We haven't been able to upset her once, really. Her name is Isa, and she's from way off in Western Oregon, but she's been quite a volunteer here, and she wants to say a few things, and I better let it go to her before we go to commercial break, and then just take it over.
It's How long do I have, Greg?
I haven't got a clue because I didn't set the clock right, but I'll hear music, and I'll give you a cue. So anyway, take it over. But you want to be about there from the mic.
Not here. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit closer.
A little closer. Good morning. I wanted to be a voice of the female persuasion here at the retreat and let all the women know that there is a place for you. More than welcome. Actually, I'm a single mom, and I fit right in here and surrounded by amazing brothers and a few other sisters at this retreat. I'm more than comfortable. I'm just ecstatic, actually. And anybody who's wondering, well, I don't really know too many people, and I don't know that I'd want to get down here. You need to just come, because that little song I know that we used to sing in the corporate church of bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken. He doesn't do that when we sit in our houses. We choose to bind ourselves together the way we choose to bind ourselves to Him. So I just purposed in my heart to go to the Vail Retreat with Rick and Ellen. That was an 8-hour drive and well worth it. And
We're actually going into a break right now. I and some of this might not have actually even gone out over the radio, but because I just caught them coming in on us because the volume was down. But we're recording it here, so everybody who gets to hear this recording later will hear those words. We'll start out with Issa again when we come back from the break, and we'll let you hear the rest of what she has to say.
We don't know how much I actually said.
We got cut off a little bit, but everything was recorded, so we got it.
All right. What Paul said to the Corinthians, that we should all agree with one another so that there would be no divisions among us and that we may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And I'm sure my other brothers have said it, but the only way to do that is to get together. And we're out here. It is beautiful, beautiful landscape. Last night we had a feast where everybody came together and shared what they had, and we actually had a massive amount of food. I think we'll be fine until next Wednesday if we wanted to stay that long. But it was the coming together and the cooking and the talking with each other that you can't duplicate listening to the radio. So again, amazing experience. There's no distraction. There's no cell phones, computers. Some of you may be quaking in your boots at that thought, but believe me, you won't miss it because you'll have brothers and sisters within an arm's reach away to chat about whatever, somebody that you'll have something in common with, guaranteed, and people you don't that you'll just be thrilled to meet. So I just want to tell you that I came. This one was a short trip. It was only 4.5 hours. Well worth it. And I just hope to see as many more people as can come and who are willing to come. I'll just finish with this. If you want to come, Father will make the way for you to come. Unless there's a good reason that he needs you to stay there, if your heart is to come, share that with him, and you will come. So, thanks.
Well, one of the things she's talking about coming and stuff like that, we're probably going to have a retreat next year. We hope to be having it on the new church property. And expanding the facilities a lot more to accept a larger and larger influx of people each time. And as we get people that get their feet wet in the kingdom, those people will help us deal with larger and larger numbers. One guy gets spread a little bit thin trying to talk to everybody. Fortunately, we've had a lot of help from the family. We actually have a funeral here in the local community that overlapping the retreat. My wife's been working away at that. We have over 200 people coming to that this afternoon. So, as a matter of fact, she's holding off running the mixer till the end of the radio program. So, but anyway, we really appreciate it, Issa. She's been a great delight to come here. She certainly isn't any kind of a stick in the mud. So she's been a lot of fun. But anyway, unfortunately, some of the people that their wives couldn't come because they're all holding down the fort back at whatever. We want to make this a family event, and that requires a lot of planning, and someone who is as efficient as Issa will probably help us plan the next retreat, and we'll have lots more spaces. And we really should be having 2 or 3 of these retreats a year for the different feasts that would normally have. The feasts that we had in the Bible, they're not just rituals. They actually have a purpose. And I think a lot of people experience that purpose here. And I hope to enrich that experience in the future.
Feast of Tabernacles is going on.
Yeah. Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles, Fall Feast. Goes by a lot of different names, but it's got one purpose. And that's people coming together.
Amen.
Okay. So thanks a lot, Issa. And we're going to have one more guest, I think, on the show, which will be Jeff from South Carolina. And Jeff's kind of a timid guy. I've been trying to get him to come out of his shell for a long time and see if he could actually speak to the public. Actually, that's a complete lie, because Jeff, we've decided to buy him the shirt that says sarcasm is just one of the services I provide. But Jeff's an experienced minister. He's done a lot of talking. He's very very enthusiastic about the kingdom, about Christ, and about the message of Christ. And I'll probably have to hold them back on this radio show. But anyway, he's shaking his head. We actually get along pretty good. We're really very different individuals. Yeah. That's one of the beautiful things about the kingdom is that we're not all the same. We don't wear a uniform. We don't wear the same cap. He's probably been covered in my cap too, but he hasn't said it anyway. But the fact is that we're a variety. We're an interesting lot. And you can imagine what the apostles were like, you know, fishermen and scholars and what have you. But yet somehow or other they came together and fit together and made a body that actually did some good in the world, and that's what we hope to.
Amen.
So without any further ado, I'll let you hear from Jeffrey, contact minister and minister of a congregation of record in Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Well, greetings in the name of Yeshua, and I wanted to go ahead and send greetings to you from good old South Carolina. My wife is over there. If she's listening to this show, I want to give my greetings and also all the folks that are in that region. We're really enjoying ourselves. The Father is really, really being glorified. And one thing that I want to start out with here is it is so important to come together. And that's the beauty of this for me, is to actually put faces to the people I've emailed and the phone calls that we've had. And it's so neat to actually put a face to these voices and the folks that we've been actually collaborating for, in some cases, probably even close to a year. So that really is a blessing. We're having a great time here. It's been a long but a very fruitful journey, because we actually landed in San Jose, California, and drove up here to Oregon, and we just did a lot of different stops preaching the kingdom. And I wanted to share this real quick as a precursor, that there's been a lot of pastors that I've been talking to on this journey that their ears are kind of perking up. There's something stirring, that the waters are stirring here, and they're very, very interested in what we have to offer. But our responsibility is to continue to bring the lights, you know, bring revelation, and allow Holy Spirit to do what He is doing. Because, see, we're simply a tool in His hand, and He's looking for tools to be willing to be a voice of righteousness, a voice of truth, ambassadors of freedom, and to send us forth. There's a lot of people who are hungry. But what came to my heart this morning when I came here is Romans 12. And what's it all about? And What's the point? What's the purpose of why we're gathering? Why are we even burning on the inside? Why is our hearts burning for something that is real and just the purpose of life and the purpose of this whole thing? And it's very interesting. Paul talks about being a living sacrifice. I want to read a little bit of this from Romans 12. And verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And this is how I feel in my heart for you. "I beseech you that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God." And this really popped out at me this morning as I was kind of stirring up and just seeking the Lord, because we really have to be these living sacrifices, because it is a sacrifice. But when you're connected with Holy Spirit and your brethren, the body of Christ, it's like the oil that helps you continue going, walking this journey, because we know it's a narrow road. You know, read Matthew 5-7 about the Beatitudes, to just the instruction of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes into about the narrow way. What's so beautiful, after 26 years of walking this journey, I really didn't go after the Lord. He actually came after me as a young man. I'm just so grateful. Love overtook me, and I'm so grateful for Father's love. But here's the deal. A lot of us have been raised in religion. A lot of us have been raised in just
just a, really a lot of delusion, and we're sincerely trying to find our way, because what's happening is we know the world's not the solution, and then we get plugged into the, I call it the religious machine, or if we want to go to Revelation 17, we talk about the whore riding the beast, if you will. And so you have this option. You have either the political machine or the religious machine. So what's the alternative? And so we're taught to express what is very sincere to us and sacred to us in these boxes. And it's so beautiful meeting Brother Gregory and to some other folks. And hey, wait a second. There's something other than the boxes that we've been taught all these years that we could actually plug into. But it is a narrow road. And it does take us being a living sacrifice. It does take us, as it says here in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And these are some of the wonderful things I've been experiencing here is I'm not the only one that is burning on the inside. It's so beautiful being among other people that are impassioned and desirous of the purity of God. And how do you express yourself in purity and in holiness and in righteousness? Because we're not supposed to be conformed to this world. So that is really the burning desire of my heart. How do we really express ourselves in the kingdom? Really, what is the kingdom? It's about a king. It's about the king's dominion. And we really cannot express our lives in the kingdom at hand until we understand the kingdom wants to dominate the inside of you. He wants to dominate the inside of me. It's his dominion. And so wherever he has dominion, wherever he takes rule, that's where he is. That's where he reigns. And so this journey is very, very interesting because it's twofold. It's a kingdom that's within and a kingdom at hand. But I believe like a two-winged eagle, we must have that balance. Because if we're a one-winged eagle, we'll just go ahead and flop around in circles. So it's the kingdom within and the kingdom at hand. So what I'm so excited about here, this retreat, is actually seeing people eyeball to eyeball and seeing the passion, seeing the desire, the longing to really express themselves outside of this box, outside of what's been given to us. And so I wish you guys were here. I mean, we're all having a good time, and you're kind of missing out. But there's always opportunities in the future here. But there's one thing. Even though I traveled, close to 3,000 miles, I just kind of do a little rabbit trail here. I was not able to be here, and I remember talking to Gregory, but I had desire, and it's so interesting because that desire, I put some effort into it. I prayed about this thing and I kind of poked around, because I had to leave my wife behind taking care of the ranch. But I had desire, and that desire actually manifested to someone, coming over to me and saying, "Hey, Jeff, I really want to support you and get you a plane ticket." Isn't that a blessing? So the Lord could do wonderful things like that for you. So if you express desire before the Lord, the Bible says in Psalms 37, it talks about delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And he also says that if you commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And that's what I believe is happening here. The Lord brought me here because I wanted to meet Brother Gregory again and see him face to face and all the other contact ministers and just firsthand experience and collaborate and communicate about what their passion is and what makes them tick. And what the beautiful thing is here at this retreat is there's a common sound, there's a distinct sound, and a drum beat, if you will. And the drum beat is really this thing where we're talking about liberty. And like, I'm constantly hearing it, one way or the other, from, people from, a sort of a patriot perspective, to ones who've been at it maybe a little bit longer and discovering that that is actually really a catapult to kingdom living. It's not about our loyalty and our devotion to really a nation we call here America. It's really about loyalty, devotion, and federation to the King of Glory. And but that liberty has been a resounding cry, and because people are looking for it. I believe even you out there in the listening audience, there's a cry deep inside of us. What, I mean, how are we liberated? How do we live our lives without other men telling us what to do? But here's the trick. If we go off just the renegade and lawless and just anarchy, that's not the solution. You know, throwing off all the external, you know, constraints. It really is about being governed by Holy Spirit and governed by the precepts and the principles and the law of our Creator. And so that is what I've discovered over the years, what real liberty is. That right, that power to choose, that all the days of my life, what is that choice? I want to choose the Messiah. I want to choose to love Him and to burn with great zeal and passion for Him all the days of my life. And here's the second part of that, is I desire for you to burn and to desire Him with every fiber of your being. Because this kingdom's not about us, you know, per se, as far as individually. It's about us collectively. And I love what Brother Gregory says just over the years as he's kind of given me gentle rebukes. He says, and other people that I hear him talking to, he says, it's not about pursuing our own liberty or pursuing our own freedom. What are we doing for others' freedom and liberty? Because I really believe there's a spiritual dynamic that just makes us tick. If we're about others, we're others-minded, there's something in a supernatural realm that kind of aligns. Because the eternal nature of God, one friend of mine said, is that of the Lamb sitting on the throne. I mean, He has sacrificed His life. He has humbled Himself to even be a man and even to die on a cross. And He expects us, and this is the kingdom within, to bear that same nature. And the wonderful thing is, it's not us trying to obtain that nature. What I'm learning, and as I've talked to Gregory extensively about this word striving, it's also found in the same place when it talks about fight the good fight of faith. There's a fighting, there's a contending. And yes, that is true. But really, as I've been thinking about this, most of our contending is really in yielding, surrendering our lives to Him. And given up all these things it says here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is the real, I think, that's where the rubber meets the road, if you will. Because I believe with all of my heart, if we can get that down, a life that surrenders, a life that yields to the admonition of Father, and walks in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, we will be others-minded. And so that would be a gauge, if you will, like on your automobile, the check engine light. The check engine light is this in our lives. What are we doing for others? Are we really about helping our neighbor? Are we really about our neighbor's liberty and freedom, even as ministers, more than ourselves? And as far as people who call themselves Christians, call themselves seekers of the kingdom, at least equal to ourselves. And so that's some of the things that are burning in my heart. And I want to give one more scripture at the latter part of Romans. It just didn't talk about being not conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It talks about, in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy or dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And that's what we're experiencing here in the camp. The Lord has given us practice to show forth brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. This is this wonderful and fantastic instruction from Paul the Apostle. And here's something that's really important, I think, with all of us at the Kingdom Dynamic. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. So those who are full of zeal and passion, it's all right to be fervent. The Father loves it. And so there's no shame to our game. Amen. The word says, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. One preacher told me a long time ago, he says, you know what? I'd much rather take wildfire than no fire at all. So, amen. If there's some fervency, I'll take some of that wildfire. It's a blessing. And it says right here, it says, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things. It's that arrogant thing. It's also one thing about the kingdom. It's not full of pride and arrogancy. It won't work. It will literally sabotage the flow of the entire community. This is a kingdom that can function and operate only by humility. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. And so we cannot be high-minded, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, and this is only something we can do by being ruled by Holy Spirit, avenge not yourselves. I tell you, we always want to get into this, this mode that someone offends me or does me dirty. I just want to go ahead and take that up. But the word says this, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. If in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is kingdom. I mean, if we are not spirit-led, we cannot, that list I just talked about, those beautiful attributes, if we're not walking in the spirit, walking in humility, we'll not be able to taste this. I don't know about you folks, but I want it to be more than philosophy. I want it to be more than a concept. I am burning on the inside. And I know Brother Gregory is the same. It's like we are burning on the inside. I'm talking to men and women here at this retreat. They are burning on the inside to see the reality of what we just read here to be exercised in the communities of tens, hundreds, and thousands. I mean, we're seeing the kingdom in faith. And we're seeing a glimpse here and there. But here's a situation. The kingdom can only function and operate if we join together. We're not here for a spectator sport. We're here for full participation. So my challenge and my exhortation to you is participate. You have something to give. You have something to offer. Just release your heart before God. And what's the impact that you could bring to not only the community you live in right there, but beyond that? And Gregory says things like, it's not a matter of what we're doing in our own little congregations. What are we doing to help other congregations? Again, it comes back to the theme of being others-minded. And so I want to encourage you that you have something to give. You have something to contribute. All of us do. Let not fear bind us or intimidation, but step out in faith. Believe the Lord to see you unlocked and maximized in a way that impacts others. So I bless you in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I bring greetings to the folks there in the Carolina group. We love you tremendously. Wish you were here. And we'll go ahead and turn it back over to Gregory for the last few minutes here.
Okay. Well, like I said, he's kind of shy, but he's coming out of his shell. Anyway, that's Jeffrey, and he has been a great help here. He's got a pretty good disposition. We can hardly upset the guy, but I think I can come up with something that'll probably irritate him. But Right after the show. Help me, Lord. Right after the show, we're going to take a trip out to the other property that the church has been having an option to purchase for some time. And hopefully with the help of the Lord, we'll make that happen. And we're going to cancel Talk Show today for anybody who normally turns it in. But we'll be back next week with Keys of the Kingdom. And we'll be sharing everything we can with you. Until then, God bless. And may peace be with you.
Amen.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.